We're in Hebrews again. It's been a while. Hebrews chapter 9. Of course, the theme of Hebrews is Christ is better. Why go back to the old way? Why go back to the Jewish customs when what we have is far superior? What we have is far better. I recall a number of men that were called to preach when I was in Bible college that were zealous and, you know, they were really go-getters. I remember one man in particular, he had gone to the roll-off homes. He was a little bit older, maybe in his middle 20s or so when he went to Bible college. His name was Danny Kent. And boy, he was a fiery evangelist. He graduated, went out in the ministry, and unfortunately got back into the drug crowd and lost his life. You know, it's really sad. It's really sad. You know, the warning is here for all of us, not just the Hebrew believers. So let's not just say, well, those people, you know, they were going back into traditional religion. But the warning is for all of us. What we have, we don't need anything else. What we have in Christ is sufficient. And what we know is all we need to know. And when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't go back to the old life. Don't go back or take anything second best. Make sure that you follow through and live for Him. So the argument has been, we go through, that He's greater than the angels, and greater than Aaron, the priest, greater than the sacrifice that was made, and now He talks about He is greater than the sanctuary itself. So I think it's important to remember, just so everybody's with us, some of you know this well and have studied it out, but when Moses met with God on Mount Sinai, God gave him direction about how to worship, the Levitical priesthood and all the laws, but it's centered around a building, a tabernacle in the wilderness. It was all made from things here on this earth. People brought in things that they had spoiled the Egyptians, and they brought in all the stuff. They had more than enough, and they erected this tabernacle in the wilderness. And through the priesthood, they could worship God. God intervened on their behalf, and for 40 years, they wandered around the wilderness. Ultimately, Solomon built a temple. It was a magnificent building, and it replaced the tabernacle. But there were different aspects of it that were pictures or types of spiritual things, spiritual truths, and of Christ who was to come. So that's the reference of chapter 9, to sort of put it in context. We're going to talk about how what we have in Christ and what we have in a Christian walk is superior to what they had back in the tabernacle or even in the temple with Solomon. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Now that word worldly doesn't mean sinful, it just means earthly. Everything was made from products on the earth, the wood, the jewels, the badger skins, all those different things came from the earth. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. But when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, thus this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Now, without going through the rest of the chapter, we could begin by saying all these things that God gave the children of Israel were important. They were good. It was a means whereby they could communicate with God. And it all centered through this tabernacle. So the priest could offer sacrifices. They had the table of showbread replaced daily. So in this building, there were two compartments. There's the holiest and then the holiest of all, or the holy of holies. So those two were separated by a veil. Now, there was a curtain outside, but the second curtain separated everyone from the presence of God. Only the high priest could go in, and that once yearly, and not without blood. So it was a limited access. It is interesting to note, too, if you study about the tabernacle and all the types and pictures that pertain, there's no door into the holiest of all. And we don't really know how the priest got in there. And the curtain was not like a curtain that you'd see on your window or something. It was thick. It was heavy. And, you know, they don't really know how he got in. I don't know if he crawled under it, but the people would be in anticipation. The high priest has gone in the holiest of all, and if he's not right, if there's any sin, he could die. I mean, it's a serious thing to enter in the presence of God. And whenever he returned, the people rejoiced and were excited and thankful. Intercession is made for us. Redemption is made because he offered blood on the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was the picture of Christ who was shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. But all of this was a type and a picture. It was earthly, and it was only what happened here on the earth. So God gave Moses a pattern that really is a pattern after heaven. And it was just only here on this earth. So all the things that happened on earth were inferior to that heavenly sanctuary. And we don't know what it's like to go to heaven. When a person dies, the Bible says to be absent the body is to be present with the Lord. But they're not in a resurrected body yet, so their spirit goes to be with the Lord. How does that happen? We don't know. We don't understand that. But we do know what the Bible says, and that they're with the Lord. What that sanctuary in heaven looks like, we don't quite understand. We don't know. All we know is there was a picture here on this earth of that heavenly sanctuary, of what it would be like to be in the presence of God. So there was a sanctuary on the earth, but it was inferior to the real thing. It was just a picture of the real thing. It was a type of that which was to come. It calls it a shadow. So all the arrangement of the furnishings of the Old tabernacle, all those things were just shadows of the reality. So what we have in Christ is the real thing. When Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, remember what happened to the veil of the temple? It separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. It was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, that was no accident. That was an amazing thing. But it signified something, that now access is open to go directly to the presence of God. And we know that happened because it was Christ's veil or body that was rent. Now, you see, all these types and pictures were done for a reason. It was to help people understand truth and understand who God is and the nature of God. So there was a brazen altar, and they offered sacrifices. They shed the blood of an innocent animal. If we saw something like that today, we would say, wow, it's more like a slaughterhouse than a church auditorium. They were killing animals, and then they would put them on an altar, and they would sacrifice them, and some of the sacrifices they ate, some of them they burned completely. You'd think, that's really a strange thing. One liberal called it, that bloody religion. In fact, some churches several years ago, liberal churches, decided they didn't like the idea of blood whatsoever, and they took every reference of blood out of their songbooks. They made sure they had a songbook that didn't contain anything about the blood. You see, the reason we do talk about the blood, even though it's a horrible thing, it speaks of the grace of God. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. It's the price that had to be paid. When Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that's the payment for our sin. And whenever we sin, whatever we do, if you want to pay for your own sin, the only way to do it is to go to hell. But through the grace of God, a payment, a sacrifice was made so that we can have forgiveness, that blood could be applied. So it goes back to the Passover, where we know the children of Israel and Egypt, and the final of the 10 plagues occurs, the death of the firstborn. But the people that were spared took an innocent lamb, and very specifics about how they chose that lamb. They would kill the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost of their house, and that was the protection at the Passover. So throughout the time of the Jewish people, we see the importance of the shedding of blood. And a lamb would be slain. But you see, all that just pointed toward one who would come. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. It's necessary, and that shows the love of God, that he was willing to give his life on the cross of Calvary because he loved you and me. That is the greatest sacrifice that could be made. So there is an earthly tabernacle or sanctuary, but it was inferior. It was also inferior because it was inaccessible to the average person. You know, only the high priest, there's only one high priest, and they're the only ones that could enter into the very presence of God. But today we have direct access. So it was just a picture. It was inferior to what we have today. Another thing about that sanctuary is it was in a temporary sanctuary. It didn't last forever. Even the temple, Jesus said that the temple is going to be destroyed. In fact, the temple was destroyed 70 AD, and it's never been rebuilt. It was built by materials that are from this earth, and that means they could decay or rot, or they'd be torn down. They were abolished. And it was ineffective in really changing anybody's life. It couldn't change a person's heart. So the temple, the Old Testament sanctuary, had a purpose, and it covered their sin. The priest would go year after year after year, but it was an outward thing, but it could not change a person's heart. Well, when Christ comes and lives within, it changes your life, changes your heart. We're a different person. We're all here tonight, and those listening online, you're different because of Christ in your life, in your mind, your heart. When you receive him, it is life-changing. And then the superior sanctuary we have today is because of this new testament, this new covenant that is found in Christ. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. So there is a change. It says, "But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood." He entered in, what's the next word? Once. How often did the priest go? Every year. But he once for all entered the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of this new testament or this new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we have a superior covenant, a superior sanctuary, because it is a heavenly sanctuary. The Old Testament is just a picture of what it would be like in the presence of God. Now we have access directly to the presence of God. So it is a heavenly sanctuary it speaks of. And it is effective in changing people's lives. So the high priest took another creature's blood into the Holy of Holies, and he did it many times during the course of his life and ministry. But the Lord Jesus Christ once shed his blood on Calvary. Now, we don't know how it happened exactly, but evidently in heaven took of his own blood, and there on in the presence of God and at heavenly temple, there shed his blood for you and for me, that we might have access directly to the throne of God. The Old Testament sacrifices were ceremonial. They were important, but they could not eliminate sin. But the blood of Christ can and does, shed once for all. And verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So if you think about a will, last will and testament, somebody makes out a will and they say, all my possessions I leave to my children. Well, they don't go to the children until a person dies. They open up the will and they say, okay, what does the will say? What happens? When Christ died, that satisfied this will and testament. It was sealed by his blood. Therefore, as a Christian, we have access directly to the throne of God. Go down to verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So the blood is absolutely necessary. And only a liberal would say, take the blood out of the songbooks. Only an unbeliever, only someone that's not really saved, would say, we don't need the blood. Only a liberal would say, in our church, we'll never talk about the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission of sin. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So it was a fulfillment of the shadow of the Old Testament. What we have in Christ is far superior to what we would have in the Old Testament, and it's far superior to what we had living our own power, living our own life. So the high priest sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, but Christ in that heavenly temple sprinkled his own blood on our behalf once for all. It's a superior sanctuary because it's based on a completed sacrifice. A completed sacrifice. Go down to verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he oft have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, here's that word again, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it was a completed sacrifice. The priest work was never done. They had a job, and it went from generation to generation. And they would be ministering in the temple for many years, 20, 30 years, or sometimes more. But when Christ came, it was the climax of the ages to put away sin, that it was only necessary once for all to suffer for you and for me. The veil, of course, was rent in two, and that opened the way to the very presence of God. That means Christ now appears in heaven for us, and we can come into the presence of God through him. So the scripture says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy in time of need. I think it's one of the most difficult things in Christian life to think, I just don't feel worthy. I just don't feel like I'm good enough to be able to pray or to come into the presence of God. I don't feel worthy to be used of God or to serve God. I think that's a common feeling because we aren't. But you see, it's not the basis of our goodness. It's not the basis of our righteousness. The basis of our access to God is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. We come boldly because he made sacrifice for us. And it's comforting for every Christian to realize that wherever we've come from, whatever our past might be, it's covered under the blood of Christ. And even as a Christian, when we're not everything we ought to be, and when we come short, we know we have access because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word appear is used three times. We see Christ's past appearance when he put away sin for us. We see his present appearance in heaven for us, interceding in our behalf. And then we see his future appearance someday in glory that he'll bring us back to be with him forever. So we have a sanctuary. It's not here on this earth. Now, sometimes we call a church building a sanctuary, but it's not really the sanctuary. It's a church building. But there is a sanctuary, a holy place in heaven, the very presence of God where we can worship him. We don't exactly understand the full nature of it, exactly what it would be like. But we do know this. What was on this earth through the Jewish nation was a type and a picture of what is to come. The reality is what we have in Christ. It is the real thing, real access directly to him. There is a joy or a rejoicing that we have in Christ because of what he's done for us. I don't know anybody that's been saved that would say, boy, I wish I'd never got saved. You know, anybody that gets saved, they're, wow, praise the Lord. I know where I was at. I know what he's done in my heart, my life. Boy, I'm so grateful for his forgiveness. Now, sometimes people turn away, they backslide, but they always regret it. They're never better for it. They're never happy because of it. But what we have in Christ is all that we need. We don't have to worry about the circumstances in the world around us and whatever problems we have to face every day. What we have in Christ is all I need. Remember the chorus, Christ is all I need. And that says it all. It's just a simple chorus, but that it is the truth. Christ is all I need. He is a better sanctuary. Now, as we go through Hebrews, we're going to find, as a result of these arguments, one built upon another, how Christ is seen better in every way, better than the priesthood, better than the sanctuary, better than any of the Old Testament types and figures. What we have in Christ is going to help us every day to draw closer to him, to live for him, until one day we are in that heavenly sanctuary. But we do have responsibilities, as we'll see. We ought to live by faith. If we have something better, let's not go back to what's inferior. Keep that which is best. Let's bow for prayer.